You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Призываю вас немедленно сложить оружие и идти домой. Поясню. Все военнослужащие украинской армии, которые выполнят это требование, смогут беспрепятственно покинуть зону боевых действий и вернуться к своим семьям. Кто бы ни пытался помешать нам, а тем более создать угрозы для нашей страны, для нашего народа, должны знать, что ответ России будет незамедлительным и приведет вас к таким последствиям, с которыми вы в своей истории еще никогда не сталкивались.
Having a hard time understanding. The Ukrainians certainly got the message. The world now knows. That was 4 days ago, Feb 24, as Putin announced officially, we are invading Ukraine. This is Feb 28, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube, you'll be able to switch on and watch us while we do the program, in addition to listening. During that speech, part of which we played for you, if you understood Russian, you knew exactly what he was saying, and the rest of the world was waiting to hear translations. In this early hours of Thursday, February 24, Putin started addressing his nation, announcing, quote, a special military operation against Ukraine. Not an invasion, a special military operation. Justifying it on the heels of his decision to recognize the Donetsk People's Republic and Luhansk People's Republic, the two breakaway republics in the southeastern part of Ukraine. Many of them are Russian descent originally. And the signing of mutual cooperation agreements between Russia and those two breakaway regimes. And he began by saying, respected citizens of Russia, dear friends. And then what you were hearing him say is, we are launching military operation against Ukraine. And here's how he breaks it down in his view of why. He said, we've been left no other option. We've been left no other option to protect Russia and our people, but for the one we will be forced to use today. His point being that NATO was encroaching and getting closer. Ukraine is not part of NATO, had not been voted in, and in fact, he had made it clear if you do vote in, we will definitely invade. So it was not being done, but he was going to use this as an excuse anyway. He also said our plans do not include the occupation of Ukrainian territories. That's a lie because they already are occupying two other territories. He also added this to the military personnel of the Ukrainian armed forces. Dear comrades, your fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers did not fight the Nazis, defend our common motherland so that today's neo-Nazis can seize power in Ukraine. You see where he's going. He's built his case for his people to understand why he's doing it. And he's fighting inside his own country, folks who are opposed to it. He also then added, you need to understand, anyone who might be tempted to intervene, whoever tries to hinder us or threaten our country or our people, should know that Russia's response will be immediate and will lead you to consequences you have never faced in your history. Never faced in your history. Well, President Biden, of course, immediately started making some remarks. He initially announced sanctions and then later said, well, we knew the sanctions wouldn't work. Damn right, sanctions don't work when bullets are flying at you. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We're going to be focusing, obviously, on this story, but there are others concerned, of course, about the trucker's convoy and also some of these COVID tests sent to your home might be poisonous. Where our special guest today, Stephen Bucci, 30-year Special Forces Commander deployments to the Persian Gulf War, can give us an idea of what the battleground is like in Ukraine. It's not going well for the Russians. Also, Randy Mayfield, former pastor, missionary, Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton, will be joining us. He had previous contact with Ukrainians, and lately they've been hiding out in subway tunnels from the aerial attacks. We've got a lot to cover for you. Make sure you and your friends are listening or watching at Larry Connors USA live stream Larry Connors USA YouTube. We're ready for you. You lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Southern Nights. Have you ever felt a Southern night? Free as a
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
At the very moment that the United Nations Security Council was meeting to stand up for Ukraine's sovereignty, to stave off invasion, Putin declared his war. Within moments, missile strikes began to fall on historic cities across Ukraine. Then came the air raids, followed by tanks and troops rolling in. We've been transparent with the world. We've shared declassified evidence about Russia's plans and cyber attacks and false pretexts so that there could be no confusion or cover-up about what Putin was doing. Putin is the aggressor. Putin chose this war.
That is, of course, President Biden the other day. Shortly after the bombs and missiles began to rain down on Ukraine and some of those forces started moving in, he said, Putin is the aggressor. He started it. Now, I read you a few moments ago why Putin says we had no other option because we had to protect our country. I don't know of anyone who's threatening to invade Russia other than maybe China, maybe India at some point, but certainly not Ukraine. So Biden's been looking, I mean, not Biden, but Putin's been looking for an excuse. And part of it had to do with the expansion of NATO as they began to draw closer, moving more to the east. Ukraine has been basically the dividing line, the border between Russia and NATO nations. The troops under Putin have been also operating primarily out of Belarus, and now we're told Belarus will add soldiers as well. There are a lot of things that are happening today, even as I speak. Now, they're trying to hold meetings to bring all this to halt sooner than later. That's talking. but bullets are still flying. In fact, large explosion apparently just rocking Kiev just as the negotiations between the mediators for Russia and Ukraine wrapped up. The leaders of either country were not present. They sent representatives. We're waiting on a word from my State Department after that first round of Russian-Ukraine peace talks. And he also, Putin also has gathered Chechen fighters to go to Ukraine. But some are saying that might have backfired over him because Chechen fighters have been basically against the Chechen fighters against Russia for some time. They've carried out some of their biggest attacks against Russia. They're part of a Russian National Guard unit known for fighting insurgencies, brutal tactics as needed. In fact, they hit Russia pretty hard during the 90s, if you recall. The Chechens employed to hunt down terrorists in Syria, used by Russia to fight elsewhere, including Georgia. They also fought Ukrainians previously when hostilities began in Donbas in 2014. But in this case, it's not so sure that they're actually going to help Russia more than helping Ukrainians. How many? 7,000, maybe tens of thousands. Ukrainian forces have been fighting back with an amazing ability. Now, here's something to keep in mind. Americans who want more gun control and fear that guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens is dangerous, make note of this. What they've had to do in Ukraine is hand out weapons to Ukrainian citizens to defend themselves. They didn't have any guns, so they're giving them guns. And not just semi, but fully automatic weapons. Big problems could occur immediately. If they've never been trained in using any weapon, and certainly an automatic weapon, and then some of the others. Various military equipment has been sent in to knock out tanks, maybe knock out some bombs before they reach the ground. Germany is actually beginning to step up and provide something more than just words that, well, we hope we can find a settlement. Germany is relying on that Baltic pipeline from Russia, 750 miles to Germany under the Baltic Sea for about 40% of their fuel reserves and needs. That's why they did not really want to take a stand against Russia. But now the entire global community, with maybe the exception of China, are looking at Russia as being a pariah and doing what they can. But when you hear Biden blame Putin and say he started it, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas says, you really need to look at what Biden has done because in a way he, and if you're watching on YouTube on our live stream right now, if you're watching Larry Connors USA live stream on YouTube, you can tell what I'm doing. Cruz says Biden invited in quote marks, Putin to go ahead.
The reason that Russia has invaded Ukraine is because of catastrophic mistakes made by President Biden and Vice President Harris. There are two causes in particular that put us in this situation. Number one, last year, when we withdrew from Afghanistan, the absolutely catastrophic withdrawal, incompetently executed, every enemy of America across the globe looked at America and was emboldened. They looked at the Oval Office and they took a measure of the man in the Oval Office. And unfortunately, they concluded that the president was weak and feckless and ineffective. And as I said at the time, the chances of a Russian invasion of Ukraine have just increased tenfold. And also, every bit as troubling, the chances of a Chinese invasion of Taiwan have increased tenfold.
And that is a very critical issue. China has tried to be kind of in the neutral zone because they also get oil from Russia. But they also had their eyes upon Hong Kong, Taiwan, South China Sea territories that have already been under dispute. And when Russia decided to make the move into Ukraine, despite supposed sanctions that Biden was suggesting might take place, and using phrases like, well, if there's a minor incursion, you know, we'll deal with it. And that almost opened the door. A minor incursion, like, the door's open. How far in do you want to push? Well, they pushed all the way. So once all the action, the firing, the shooting, the killing, slaughtering began, well, Biden came back and said, oh, we're going to take care of them. We will hit them with those sanctions. Listen to this.
Today, I'm authorizing additional strong sanctions and new limitations on what can be exported to Russia. This is going to impose severe costs on the Russian economy, both immediately and over time. We have purposely designed these sanctions to maximize the long-term impact on Russia and to minimize the impact on the United States and our allies. I want to be clear, the United States is not doing this alone. For months, we've been building a coalition of partners representing well more than half the global economy. 27 members of the European Union, including France, Germany, Italy, as well as the United Kingdom, Canada, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and many others, to amplify the joint impact of our response. I just spoke with the G7 leaders this morning, and we're in full and total agreement.
Full and total agreement. So we're going to put these sanctions on. They did finally decide to enact the effort called SWIFT to shut down all Russian banks, not just a few, but all activities coming out of Russia. But, of course, Senator Ted Cruz says there's Biden's second mistake.
Secondly, with respect to Russia and Ukraine in particular, President Biden made an enormous mistake when he waived the sanctions on Nord Stream 2, the pipeline that Putin was building to get his natural gas to Europe without having to go through Ukraine. I authored bipartisan sanctions that passed Congress that President Trump signed into law, and we had stopped the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is what prevented a Russian invasion of Ukraine. President Biden decided instead, for political reasons, to surrender to Russia, to waive those sanctions. He allowed Putin to complete that pipeline. Mm-hmm. That was an enormous mistake. And thankfully, yesterday, after over a year of my battling him in the Senate to try to get these sanctions imposed, Joe Biden finally did the right thing and imposed sanctions on Nord Stream 2. It's the right decision, but far too late, because Putin doesn't believe it's credible, doesn't believe it will stay.
And that's the key point. If he doesn't fear Biden and believe him to be a man of determination, and that he seems to blow with the slightest breeze from the progressives, which are more Marxist and communist than most American citizens by far, and many Democrats, does he really believe that's going to hold together? And then Biden even admitted after you just heard him tell you exactly what we're doing. The sanctions will stop it from happening. The sanctions will make sure he doesn't do it. Biden and his staff and underlings all admitted we knew they wouldn't work.
No one expected the sanctions to prevent anything from happening. This is going to take time.
The president believes that sanctions are intended to deter, and in order for them to work to deter, they have to be set up in a way where if Putin moves, then the costs are imposed.
Our hope is that Putin will decide to de-escalate, that he will feel the threat of the sanctions, what the impact will be on the Russian economy, on the Russian people, on the people who surround him. They are meant to have a deterrent impact, that he will feel the weight of being a pariah in the global community. The way we look at this, broadly speaking, and Dilip touched on this a little bit, is that we do see them as having a deterrent impact, right? It doesn't mean they're 100% foolproof.
No, they're not 100% foolproof. We'll have to acknowledge that. But in other words, you're just blah, 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 blah. You're going to talk bullets away from you. If you're not going to be strong in the beginning and make it clear, we know where you live, we know where your family lives and everything, your dogs. I mean, you do it as directly as Trump had done in the past. If you harm American citizens, you won't find a place to hide. Russia has, by order of Putin, decided to raise the emergency status of its nuclear weapons. That's fearful for all of us. And apparently inside Russia, there are those who are dissenting, many quietly because they don't want to be exposed. Others have demonstrated, rounded up and arrested. Who knows where they are now? And apparently there's dissension inside the Soviet ranks of the troops. Apparently they're not well prepared by many measures anyway. There's a high degree of alcoholism. They haven't really been working that hard at being trained. And Ukrainians, they do have some new weapons, and apparently they're doing well. There's one called a ghost pilot who apparently shot down six Russian planes the very first day. I want to take you back to something Biden said in 2019 that would happen if Trump were elected. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's going to take a hell of a lot of work to make up for all the damage he's done internationally and nationally. His network of thugs and co-conspirators are going to continue to try to undermine our democracy in the meantime. Imagine what he can do in another year. Imagine what can happen in Ukraine.
Make no mistake, this is a full-scale Russian invasion into Ukraine happening right now, and the air raid sirens going off in the Ukrainian capital as we speak.
That last piece was a reporter just 4 days ago as the invasion began. The beginning of that, Biden, I'm going to let you hear it again in just a moment, was Biden talking to a Democrat women's conference in 2019. When the primaries were underway, the elections were underway, moving toward them anyway. And he was pointing out, basically, we got to get rid of Trump. Trump's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing half the time. And in fact, he said he's so closely aligned with, not in that particular bite, but the allusion had been with all the Russian collusion stories, that Trump and Putin were so close that if Trump is elected again, then Trump would look away and Putin would know, I can invade Ukraine. This is what Biden was saying in 2019. If you elect Trump, what we're seeing happen today would happen under a Trump administration. Listen to it one more time.
It's going to take a hell of a lot of work to make up for all the damage he's done internationally and nationally. His network of thugs and co-conspirators are going to continue to try to undermine our democracy in the meantime. Imagine what he can do in another year. Imagine what can happen in Ukraine.
Yeah, imagine. Trump and his thugs. You see what we have now? Newest polls show Biden's popularity slipping even deeper. Fewer and fewer people believe he knows what he's doing, mentally capable, and that he's a threat to our national security at this rate. And you know what they're beginning to push down? First of all, we're not pushing. Biden is not pushing to open up our Keystone Pipeline. He is not pushing to activate oil and gas leases, which he had ordered closed. And yet they're still working to try to get Europe to wean itself off of Germany. Well, there's no place for them to go. The website oilprice.com posted an analysis about how the push for green energy years before Russia invaded Ukraine has now been on steroids since Joe Biden became president, and says that's to blame for the soaring oil prices and the foreign policy weakness. There's no doubt about it. John Kerry's out there again saying our biggest threat to the world is climate change. Let me remind you, those of you who listen often, you know I stated this previously. From January 21 of last year to November 21 of last year, this nation, which was energy independent under Trump, we were an exporter of oil and gas. We would buy some back just to kind of be trade partners, but we're no longer an exporter. We are an importer. And we imported just in January 21 to November 21 of last year, 232 billion barrels of oil from Russia. Who are we dependent upon? Why isn't Biden suddenly activating, get the Keystone Pipeline? Let's bring it back. They don't dare say that, do they? They want you to suffer because you don't have enough money to pay for your fuel if you can get it. That's why many Democrat congressmen are saying this time around, I'm not running. What am I going to run on? And on top of that, they're not liking the way this has been going. We warned them, didn't we? Did we not warn them? All right, let me remind you that we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube, you can tune in right now and watch. And, of course, we also remind you after every program, in case you miss it, we put it up as a podcast. My special guest coming up next, Stephen Bucci with the Heritage Foundation, 30 years, Armed Special Forces. He knows ground maneuvers.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before, but it's been a long time. Glad to welcome him back. He's 30 years as an Army Special Forces officer, then later a top Pentagon official. He's a seasoned leader in the 82nd Airborne, a commander of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Special Forces, leading deployments in Eastern Africa, South Asia, the Persian Gulf, Operation Desert Thunder. In other words, the man knows military tactics, maneuvers, and ground game. Stephen Bucci, glad to have you back on board, sir.
It's great to be back on the show, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Well, here's my pleasure, and I appreciate you making time for this. Let me get a there are several things I want to go down, several roads open, but before you joined us, I was playing, and I'm not trying to put you in a political box because I know Heritage tries to stay away from politics, just deal with the facts of the issue, but Biden in 2019 – when speaking to a women's caucus group, was saying that, look at the thugs around Trump, basically. Imagine what harm he's already done to our national reputation and what he could do if he's elected again. And if he is elected again, Putin will invade Ukraine. Well, look where we are today.
Yes, indeed. You know, if you think about it, when Putin didn't do any of these moves during the Trump administration, he did them back during the Obama administration,
mm-hmm.
when President Obama told the Ukrainians, well, we'll send you blankets and MREs, but we're not going to send you anything, you know, that you could shoot back with. And we're really, really want you not to fight back at all. Just stay, you know, just stay there. Be patient. We'll take care of it with diplomacy. And then he did nothing. Nothing happened for 4 years under President Trump. And now that we're under President Biden, you know, he kind of went for the whole gold ring there.
All right.
It's kind of sad.
There's one thing I need to draw attention on immediately, because a lot of people don't know exactly what this means. Putin the other day, yesterday, ordered his military's nuclear deterrent forces to be on alert and raising the status of his nuclear forces. Now, what exactly does that mean? Or is it just talk and stuff is already in place and there's no change? What's your evaluation?
Well, if I'm assuming that they run their system similar to ours, and we have different levels of readiness, particularly for our strategic nuclear forces.
So-called DEFCON.
You know, you don't have...
Yeah.
Right. We call it DEFCON.
Yeah.
They call it something else. But, you know, you can't have the guy sitting there with their fingers poised over the little red button 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So you keep them at readiness, but at a lower level. And then if the situation warrants, you ratchet that up and get them closer to being in that position where they're just sitting with the finger over the button. Putin has implied and announced that he has raised that level. We don't know for sure, at least as civilians, we don't know that they've actually done that. Our intelligence sources and military watch for certain key indicators to see if they've really done that or not, or is it just posturing?
All right.
I'll be honest with you. I don't, you know, when you're talking about nuclear weapons, you really can't be cavalier about it.
Yes, good
but
point.
But I really don't believe that Putin has, you know, he isn't going to get in a nuclear fight with the rest of the world over this. I just can't believe that. Even after he, you know, truth be told, I was one of the experts that said I didn't think he was going to really attack Ukraine with all those conventional forces. I thought this was posturing, bluster to try and wring out some
right.
additional concessions from Ukraine and the West. He fooled pretty much all of us, and he actually went for it.
Well, and to the other extent, maybe the deterrence that we were saying we'll put in place if you do it, Senator Ted Cruz said you were threatening something that would happen after it was done. Biden has since admitted all we knew, sanctions wouldn't stop bullets. Referenced Putin himself, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said yesterday that she is a little concerned that Putin seems erratic, descending into something never personally seen before, that maybe he's a little mentally unstable. The guy likes to bare chest, ride around on horses, likes to play like he's a big bully bluffer anyway. I mean, these are the same kind of things they throw at Trump in the past, but this is a different scenario.
They have done that, said those same things. And, you know, look, Dr. Rice is one of the people I admire most who have ever served in government. She's a brilliant woman, you know, understands international relations and understands people. I'm not sure if Putin's any different now, or is it just the circumstances are different. She sat across the table from him under, you know, with when he was in a much less powerful position as far as his capabilities vis-a-vis the rest of the world and vis-a-vis the leadership in the White House in Washington.
All right. I want to make sure I give you time to cover your real expertise and leader, commander and forces. It apparently is not going that well for the Soviets, and we'd heard reports that there's been increased alcoholism in the in the Russian army, and also that maybe they're just not that effectively trained anymore. Ukrainians are fighting back. The government handing out weapons to people who didn't have them, which would surely upset those against the Second Amendment in this country, but they're using it to defend their country. That's kind of how we began our country. What's your take on how the maneuvers are working for Russians against Ukraine?
Well, they're not working as well as the Russians would have hoped, that's for sure. It was pretty clear they thought they were just going to roll in, just overpower them with this massive force. And, you know, the Ukrainians used to be part of the Soviet Union. They know Soviet doctrine, which the Russians are still doing exactly the same thing. So they knew the playbook before the Russians rolled in. They stood their ground for as long as they could. They bloodied the Russians pretty effectively. I don't know if you saw, but the number of people that the Ukrainians have killed already, Russian soldiers, is about double what the United States lost in 20 years fighting in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Russians lost it in a couple of days. You know, when you're fighting somebody on their home ground, Larry, they get pretty tough.
The other point a lot of Russians don't really want to go forward with this anyway, do they?
Yeah, your average Russian soldier, remember, they have a conscript army. They do not have a professional army. The people only get the news that Putin lets them have. But when your sons start to die, that news starts to get back to you. And I think the people of Russia who may have, you know, said, okay, let's do this. He's doing it for nationalism. He's doing it for our Russian brethren who are being persecuted. Well, now they're kind of finding out that was all a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
And they're losing their sons. It's kind of natural for them to be some pushback from the Russian population.
In the last...
And...
I'm sorry.
Okay. And the last thing is... The Ukrainians are doing exactly what they needed to do. They fought hard, but instead of being annihilated, now they've sort of shifted to phase two, which is basically go into the cities, go into the woods, go after their supply lines, hit them where they're vulnerable, guerrilla warfare, and they're proven to be pretty darn effective at it.
In our last minute, actually 40 seconds or so here with you, do you see a coup coming inside the Russian government?
That would be nice. I don't have any inside, you know, baseball as to whether that's brewing. A few people have made comments about the body language and the kind of, you know, deer in the headlights look that some of the military leaders and their Ministry of Defense people had on their face when they were, you know, behind Putin when he was making some of these announcements, like,
all right,
holy smoke, this doesn't look like a great idea to me.
Hey, Stephen, I don't want to cut you off short, but we're up against a hard break, and I do want to thank you, as always, for your time. We will be doing it again. What, you got another minute? I'm showing less than that. All right. Well, yeah, I would think we're up against a hard break, so we'll have to go ahead, and I appreciate it very much, Stephen. Thank you, sir.
It's my pleasure, Larry. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, my clock must be way off because I'm 1 minute over at the break here at this point. I'm sorry I had to cut off Bucci at that point. Obviously, he made some excellent points about this military the Soviets have at this point and what they're able to do and not do. Coming up, we have a lot of Democrats so really concerned about the Ukrainian border. What about our southern border? I don't want you to forget that. And a threat inside right now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have so many Democrats so very concerned about a nation's security like Ukraine, and I can join them in that concern. Where the hell is their concern about the security of this nation? Our southern border is still wide open for illegals. We've done nothing to really shut down the flow. And it's not just the illegals coming in that may be looking for a better job and a better life. It's those who are bringing in drugs, opium laced with fentanyl, which is killing people. It is also providing an open conduit for child and sex trafficking. Do you realize at some point in the future, we're going to look back and find, we're going to hear stories of young girls, if they survived, and young boys, of how they were treated when they were brought to America and what happened to them, if they live. And we also have them coming in unvetted. We don't know who these people are. We have stopped many from the Middle East. Are they jihadists coming in, posing as part of the Mexicans coming in? Are the triangular Nicaragua, Honduran area? We don't know, do we? Because we're not bothering to check. They can just come in. And then, of course, with the Afghan debacle, when we flew Afghans out, and we were wanting to take some out to safety, they and their families, because they helped our troops while we were there for 20 years. But apparently only about 3, maybe 8% at the top I've seen of those who were actually given those special visas to come out in those closing days actually got out with our help. Others jumped on planes and no one stopped them from getting on. Then they're taking in. They were not properly vetted. We were told they would be vetted. They were not properly vetted. They were put on the military bases, but then they could walk off at any time they want. Several were been charged with crimes, including physical assault. So in Loudoun County, Northern Virginia, yeah, you've heard Loudoun County. The school board issue has always been an issue up there as they try to push CRT and everything else. There's another concern. The sheriff is concerned that the Department of Homeland Security under Mayorkas deciding it's going to house 16,000 Afghans, more than 1,000 per month, in the next 7 months in a local convention center not very far from two local schools. Now, of course, the DHS goes say, well, we're properly vetting these people. I don't believe it. I didn't believe it. And I will not believe it. And you're going to put something like 16,000, most of them will be men, in convention center close to schools. You want them near your neighborhood, near your school? How about all you Democrats who think this is a good idea? Well, why aren't you opening up your homes for them, all the illegals coming across the border anyway, and even these folks? Because you also have doubt if they're properly vetted or if they're coming to do a crime or try to come to the beacon of the world, the country everybody wants to get into. And if you don't like this country, the door is still there for you to go. And can you imagine speaking your mind in Russia right now, saying, I don't think our country should be in this war? Well, they did protest over the weekend and arrest. And a lot of folks haven't been heard from since. What do you think happened? Same thing inside China, North Korea, Iran. Where do you want to go that you think is better? Name it. And then go with our best wishes and a kick in your butt on the way out the door. We have lost in this country the true understanding of God's blessings, creating a land of milk and honey, as he promised the Israelis in the Old Testament, and we now have here as well. And we're not surrounded by enemies as Israel is. But I think right now we've been opening the door and letting far, far too many inside because, it seems to be the right thing to do. There's a piece that appeared in the Federalist today. I'm just going to read you the title, written by Joy Pullman. I love the title. The Americans who voted for Joe Biden owe the rest of us an apology. And for those who have died because of Biden's decisions, allowing so many drugs in and illegals who rape or kill, they owe more than an apology. But that can't be repaid. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be joined again by Randy Mayfield, former missionary pastor from Central Church of Clayton, Missouri, and some of the latest he's hearing from Ukrainians. He's been in Ukraine numerous times, and what he's hearing from them and their will to continue to fight and those trying to survive at the same time. We have a lot to cover still. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. You don't want to miss. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.